Jackson gave me the news of a planet far away. And Colonel O'Neill will assemble a team that will try to save the day. Dr. Sam has a master plan and a science attitude. And the Jaffa Tube is part of the deal with his trusty Goa'uld. It's just a regular day at Stargate Command, and it might be hard to understand.
Welcome back, everyone. I got to match energy. Hold on. We are here. Season four. Opener. Oh, no. I got distracted. Ergy ran in front. Season four. Opener. We're back. Ooh. I'm your co-fry, Sarah.
I'm your co-fry, Christina.
And I'm your co-fry, Rebecca. And I'm so excited to be here.
That was such good energy, messy. Sarah. That was messy, but I mean, it's...
Ergy got scared when I was like, flaming.
I mean, it happens.
Piping that up. We're back with our season four, episode one.
Are you so
we
excited?
Made you wait. We were very mean and not gracious.
And made you wait a whole week.
Oh,
just like
forbid.
Back in the day. Or sometimes now too, depending on what show you're watching. So before we get into it, we have a couple of housekeeping things for the fry box.
Mm-hmm.
Want to jump in there, Rebecca?
Oh, yes. God, I'm not on it tonight. Here we go. Ready?
Short, because we're three fries short.
My bad.
God, get it together.
I know. First thing, I'll take the first thing because I realized it today. Mm-hmm. On the socials, I saw that, and I don't know if you guys were friends before.
I think it was all the same
all
time.
At once. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's our friendiversary. 3 years ago, we all friended each other on social media.
It's so our anniversary.
That's our podcast anniversary is coming up. 3 years. Goddamn.
Wild.
It is.
So much has changed.
I wasn't in my 40s when I met you all.
Yeah. No. No.
Wasn't
wow.
It
Yeah. 3 years. Mm-hmm. That's wild. I feel like we just started this podcast.
I know. It still feels
Holy
fresh and new
balls.
And fun.
It does. But like, honestly, look at how far we've come. Like, it's pretty amazing.
Truly.
Yeah. We have a background that moves now.
I was going to say we have a floaty background. Like, that's different. Who would have thought?
Rebecca's sprucing up the YouTube with all the fancy thumbnails. I'm going to start helping too. I think we should start like a
I'm not.
We really should start a poll to be like, who do you think designed this week's thumbnail? Just to see if you can tell
just
the
get a random Christina one in there. Everyone,
and you know what? Mine is gonna be so fucking amazing, and y'all can kick rocks because I'm gonna put so much time and effort into it. I'm gonna like be like a monthly way, and then it's gonna be
you're gonna need for one for the one
for
surprise.
One.
A surprise, Christina thumbnail.
I'll get there. Oh but,
yeah, 3 years strong, baby.
Baby. All right. Yeah.
So exciting.
We also have an email. So kind of branching off of our silly conversation of like, why don't we explore space horizontally and vertically? We received an email from one of our longtime listeners, Damien. I believe Damien is also the one who sent us the hilarious Thor's wagon, like the Oregon Trail Thor's wagon looking clip art. I think so. Please
Ooh,
let us know.
Please confirm.
If it's not Damien, I'm sorry to whoever did send that to us, but yeah, that was really hilarious. It was like SG1 on the Oregon Trail in Thor's wagon. But Damien said, I don't have a serious answer to the question, but your discussion on it reminded me of this comment that makes its rounds in Star Trek groups every once in a while, so I thought I'd share. And there's a screenshot that says, the reason all Star Trek spaceships meet up each other in the same way is because there's a universally decided down direction. every warp-capable vessel has a piece of buttered toast suspended in an antimatter containment unit. It is picked up and dropped automatically by little robot arms within the unit 4 times a minute. The orientation of the buttered side tells the onboard computer which way is down, even when the light years away from gravitational field. Klingon ships use... I cannot say those words. Use a slice of Kagak spread with to clag. That's
probably pretty accurate. Yeah, there you go.
Good job, Sarah.
To clag, but the effect is the same. So that was pretty funny.
Perfect. I love that so much.
That was such a good laugh. I needed it when that came through.
If anybody didn't catch last week's episode, what are you doing here? Because this is the continuation. But also, there was a very long conversation, reasonably long conversation, about what way is recognized as down and up, coming out from Earth, but also meeting up with spaceships. It was a whole thing.
It was good. Yeah. I love how you're like, why are you here? Thank you, can stay, but you have to go back and listen to last week.
Yeah, you got to do that one too.
Yeah, you're gonna not understand the references.
Yeah, no, exactly. There is a question that we have not answered in a while in the comments already, and I feel like we can go ahead and answer it in the fry box to the best of our ability.
Because
we haven't spoken to it in a while. So
we have a question.
Rithgor asks, hello there. I have not been following the news. What's the latest on getting a new Stargate? Would you like me to go?
Yes, please.
If you can go. I have a child screaming in the background. I need to silence.
Cool. Whether you've been following the news or not, the news is the same. It's the same as it has been for a very long time, other than the fact that there were a ton of layoffs at Amazon in the production department. So we may actually be further back behind than we were before. That is literally the only news that is newsworthy, that is not a rumor or anything at this point. So, yeah. And don't believe all the rumors you hear. Actually, don't believe most of the rumors you hear.
Yeah. Just have honestly no expectations, because then you can't be disappointed. I try not to like hype it up and be like, I want new Stargate to be X, Y, and Z, because I don't know what it's going to be. And I just want to be surprised if we get it.
Yeah.
Just under promise, over deliver. Yep. So just no promises.
Yep.
But thank you for the question.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it has been a long time since we've genuinely addressed that question. I think we joke about that all the time, but it's still the same as it ever was at this point. As far as any kind of news.
Yes. Daddy Bezos is low on funds, according to John.
Yeah.
Oh, no. He went from having $3 billion to having $2.99 billion.
Oh, no.
That's it. No Stargate now. That was the last straw.
The nail in the coffin.
The nail in the coffin.
So sorry, Daddy Bezos. That's amazing. Oh.
So I'm sorry that doesn't really answer you at all, but, you know.
But that's okay, because we have plenty of old Stargate to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Nice segue. I like it.
New enlightening spin on things.
I like it.
Yeah. So do we have anything else for the fry box?
Mm-mm.
No.
All right.
No.
Well, last week we so cruelly left you on the season 3 finale. If you don't recall, they destroyed Thor's ship, crashed it into the ocean, but one replicator survived.
Mm.
We saw that. And we don't know what happened to SG-1. If they escaped the ship, if they made it off safely, or if they went down in a blaze of glory. We don't know. No. So
we can make an educated guess, though.
Right.
I mean,
this is not
spoilers.
The end.
Done. Whole new cast.
They could not get away with it back then, but today, who knows?
But how long did they leave us hanging, Sarah?
I will tell you, because this just, piggybacking on the conversation we had last week, where we thought we had it so terribly back then. The season 3 finale aired on March 10th of 2000. The season 4 opener was June 30th of 2000. It's a mere 3 months, 102 days between seasons.
And I remember we used to be in agony over that shit. Three-month break between seasons. Now we have, like, 3 years in between seasons.
Yes, literally. Literally.
Yes.
So, yeah, we shed a moment of silence, shed a tear for the...
Shed a moment of silence.
I mixed those up. I'm very tired. Shed a tear, have a moment of silence for the olden days of television where we only waited 3 months for a new season to come out.
It was terrible.
Yeah.
It was terrible. All right.
If only we knew what was in store. So, our season opens in the Pacific Ocean on a Russian submarine.
Like some you do. Kind,
yeah, you know, the Russians got to bring them in.
Mm-hmm. They're relevant.
Some kind of alarm is going off and two men investigate. We hear a clicking sound and one of the men opens a hatch and we see a replicator jump out and attack him and they spray him with WD-40. I guess. I don't know. What do the replicators spray people with? Acid?
They're like metal juice. I don't know what to say it.
Metal juice.
Metal juice.
That sounds like something at a venue, like metal juice.
Metal juice. I mean, they spray you with their metal juice.
I don't know.
I have a question already about this whole, because the way I watched it, I didn't have subtitles on, and the Russian guys are just speaking in Russian, and I could not read what they were saying. If you have the subtitles on, does it tell you what they're saying?
No.
Nice. Mm-mm. Cool.
Boo, tomato, tomato. I have a fun fact about that, though.
Okay.
Wait.
I kind of appreciate that they didn't. Like, you can figure out what they're saying.
Yeah.
You get the gist.
You look confused, Christina.
I'm sorry, but John said that someone was busy making me.
Sam and Jack, that's your fault, Christina.
Oh! My parents were getting it on. That's what they were doing. I was like, who was making me what?
You're just stuck. You're just stuck in that now. You're stuck.
I'm good. I was thinking about the replicators and I was like, replicators were not making me with their metal juice. So
yeah.
Anyway, continuing. Yeah.
So we have our opening credits at the SGC. We cut to the SGC. Janet is checking on Daniel's incision from his appendectomy. Remember last season he was out for the count. They're discussing how they just finally set up the second Stargate and it took a while due to technical difficulties because Sam wasn't there to save her own ass.
Yep.
They needed help. They were like, how do we plug this shit in again? Where's our girl? Then there is an off-world activation. Daniel makes a dash for the gate room. It is SG-1, of course. Sam mentions they have been trying to dial home for a week. In that time, Teal'c has grown a sick-ass soul patch. Yep. Why is it blonde? Is that really his facial hair? Or did they have to glue that shit on his face every episode until they decided not to anymore?
They glued it.
Why is it blonde? That's such a strange choice.
No, that was the time, though. You think back to that time.
Yeah, and they wanted to make it more alien.
That was like the time of Sunin and like Bleach, and it was...
I just imagine him taking a spoolie brush and like putting bleach on his soul patch. Letting that shit develop.
Oh, like, what else am I going to do this week we're on this planet? Let's just, you know.
Yes. Ooh. I would also like to say, I know this is controversial and Rebecca does not agree with me. This is my favorite Samantha Carter hairstyle.
I hate it. It is my least favorite.
Really?
I love it. She looks so cute and adorable. It's like this kind of shaggy, grown out bob. I love it.
I like it.
And I think I love it so much because I associate it with some of the shippiest episodes that we get. So it only makes me love it more.
That is true. But I still hate it. She's
adorable.
Okay, well, you guys are all entitled to your opinions.
Yeah.
They made her cut it eventually because it was out of regs.
I know. RIP. Moment of silence. Shed a tear. So
many moments of silence.
Well, not yet. I'll wait till they actually cut the hair and then I'll be like, RIP.
That would be beneath the surface.
We'll play some Sarah McLachlan and put a picture of her bob on the screen.
I will do that for you. I will do that for you, Sarah. I will
do please.
Yep.
Yep. It's like a sad shelter pet.
Y'all, we haven't even gotten to the first dialogue yet.
Well, here we are.
I'm having a great time, though.
Oh, I'm loving it. I need this.
Again, I don't really have too many themes in discussion. So it's not that deep. I mean, it's really, it still is interesting. So we're just going to riff through this episode. All right. So we have O'Neill, Carter, Hammond, Teal'c, and a little Daniel at the end.
I'll do Daniel, Teal'c.
I got O'Neill,
Carter, and Hammond.
Excellent.
Hold on, let me set up for this.
There we go. You gotta prep for your hammy.
You gotta project that hammy. Southern accent. All right. So O'Neill says, "Where's the fanfare, General?"
"We did kind of save the planet, sir."
"Again, this should not get old, General."
"Job well done."
"Thank you, sir. It was nothing."
"What happened to Thor?"
"Oh, we got him out in a stasis pod.
It was retrieved when we passed through the Stargate on P4X-234.
It must have had a landing beacon." "They left you behind?" "We were fine, sir."
"I'd be happy to debrief you all after I've debriefed myself for a nice hot shower."
"Permission to shower granted. In fact, I insist on it, Colonel."
"Bad?"
"I wasn't going to say anything."
So they are back. And stinkier than ever, apparently.
I mean,
I saw this was a piece of trivia that like annoyed me because it's just nitpicking. And they're like, "Oh, apparently they're like stinky and they've been away for a week, but they're all clean shaven." And it's like, okay, clearly Teal'c has a soul patch, so he's not clean shaven. But like, they're probably on the Alpha site where they have some type of like hygiene stuff, but maybe not like a water source. So maybe they can't, like...
I sure hope they have a water source.
I mean, like, for bathing. I don't know. Drinking. I don't know. Anyway,
they're fine.
Because it was, the nitpicky BuzzFeed type of fun fact. And it's like, that's dumb. Anyway. Cut to Sam's lab. She is studying one of the replicator blocks recovered from the ocean under a magnifying glass. Jack comes in and looks at her through the magnifying glass. His face is cartoonishly giant. It's very cute. Sam/Amanda gives the most beautiful, radiant smile. I love her so much. Queen of my heart. She assures him that they're safe. There's only like two blocks and there's nothing going on between them. They're kind of like dead. Jack tells her that he is yet again off to finish his fishing trip. That was so rudely interrupted by saving the world. And we do have this cute little like going on between them where she's like, "You're still going?" He's like, "Yep, you're still staying." And once again, she declines his offer. But just as Jack walks out, Sam gets a call. She runs after him. This is exactly what happened in the season 3 finale opener. And he's like, "Deja vu, like, what the hell? Am I about to be zapped away? What the fuck?" Hammond just got a call from bestie number one fangirl Major Davis, who is on his way over from the Pentagon. Jack's vacation is once again postponed. God damn it. So
damn it, Davis.
But we love him. So we have a plot dump. It's Davis, Carter, Hammond, and O'Neill. So I will take the O'Neill.
I'll take Davis.
Carter and Hammond.
Perfect. All right.
All right. The Navy intercepted a mayday from the commander of the Foxtrot class attack submarine, Russian, codenamed Blackbird. The crew was being attacked by a large mechanical spider. We thought it was a joke at first, then the transmission cut out. At approximately 1700 hours, the sub was spotted by the aircraft of the Nimitz. It was already surfaced and none of the attempts to communicate were returned. It was boarded. The crew was found dead. They got the bodies off before they discovered how they died.
Sir, if this started with one bug, it's already replicated.
The man that took the pictures was fortunately made it out, but Nimitz reported that the Pentagon will advise the Navy to tow the sub in.
Do the Russians know we have it?
No, we're denying any knowledge, but this is going to get sticky.
We have to make sure that none of the replicators get out of that sub.
It's under tight supervision. The harbor has been evacuated and the entire area cordoned off. Our cover story is a dangerous chemical spill.
Blow it up.
The Pentagon has requested that we take measures to preserve a number of specimens for the study.
The Asgard already tried that. These buggers are on the verge of wiping out their entire race.
That's why I'm here. You people are the closest thing to experts we've got.
As an expert, I'm saying blow it up.
Sir, conventional weapons might not do it. At least one of the replicators survived the destruction of Thor's ship.
Fine. Tow it back out to sea and nuke it.
We've considered that.
We're in a political mess right now, Colonel. The Russians picked up the Asgard ship's entry into the atmosphere.
So?
So, they're not buying our version of the story. They already think we're responsible for what happened to their sub. A nuclear explosion in international waters? It's kind of hard to cover up.
So, this is important because other Earth governments are being brought into this, and the Russians will play a pretty integral role going forward. And I think this is kind of like where that relationship begins. Remind me again, we still have both the gates, technically. They still like belong to us, right?
Yeah, technically, but one's at the bottom of the ocean.
Okay. So I think at one point, don't the Russians like get the spare one and they like, then we have to like fucking rent it from them?
I'm pretty later. Sure they get it from the bottom of the ocean and then they have that. And then all of a sudden our gate isn't working anymore. And they're like, why? And then they realize that the Russians are sending people off world too.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
This is like the start of that.
Spoiler alert.
This is the start of that storyline. Yeah.
But yeah, like we have to fucking like lease the Stargate from the Russians and pay them. It's weird. But it gives more color to the story of like, this is not just about other planets and other worlds now. Like, it's getting complicated back here on Earth. Because we have, like, Kinsey being a shithead, but now also the Russians are involved, and, like, we're not so cool with them all the time. So, it adds more color to the story. So, Davis does ask if there's any alien tech that could help them with the replicators. And Teal'c explains that they are impervious to the Ghoul technology, but projectile weapons like guns are effective. It's just a small amount of replicators. They might be able to take them out. So that's the plan. Davis is off to tell the Pentagon and see if they accept that. There's another off-world application. There's another off-world activation. And since there's no teams off-world, it's all hands on deck. Like the sirens are going, it's a whole thing. Walter is trying to close the iris, but it's not working. They lose power except for the gate, and it's a tense moment before we see Thor step through.
Thor just likes that dramatic lighting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is also one of the only times that we really see like the full body shot of the Asgards moving and walking. Typically, it's like from the waist up because they are puppets. But this is, they use CGI for the full body shot of Thor.
Mm-hmm.
So... Yeah. SG-1 greet him. They are glad to see he is alive and well. And we have some dialogue. Carter O'Neill, Thor.
I got Thor.
Cool.
Not all of the replicators were destroyed when your ship exploded in the atmosphere.
Maybe you could help us out?
I cannot.
Why?
I have come by Stargate because there are no ships to spare. My home world is being threatened by the replicators. Thus, for all attempts to stop them have failed. I have come here to seek your help.
How can we help you?
Your projectile weapons proved effective in fatally damaging the replicators.
Some.
Your technology and strategy for destroying the Bulixner was successful.
Yeah, but you guys...
The Asgard have tried to stop them. You have demonstrated their weakness may be found from a less sophisticated approach. We are no longer capable of such thinking. Daniel says... Wait a minute, you're actually saying that you need someone dumber than you are?
You may have come to the right place.
Hammond says, Thor, with all due respect to your situation, we need SG-1 here. I could go, sir.
I don't know, Carter. You might not be dumb enough.
I think I can handle it, sir. Permission granted.
We must leave immediately.
So this is super fun. Like, I think the best parts of this episode are the parts with Sam and Thor. That is the most interesting aspect of this episode. The other aspect is, like, action-filled. Like, yeah, it's still kind of, like, whatever. But the interactions and the situation with Thor and Sam are the most interesting, I think.
Adriana in the comments brings up a good point of this is where Sam starts saying O'Neillisms, because yes. as she's walking up, yeah, sure, you betcha.
Yes.
Yep.
Because yep. she...
And thus the shipping begins.
Oh, yeah.
They're not even like, they don't even pretend like they're not immediately jumping into it in season four.
Thank God, though. They've been stringing mm-hmm. us along for a while. Mm-hmm. I'm ready. So Sam just gets to leave with the clothes on her back. She doesn't even get like a toothbrush, a change of clothes. She just goes through. So cut to Jack and Teal'c. They are suiting up to take out the replicators while Daniel is manning the earpieces and the body cam. So they're off to California, I'm assuming, off to the coast to deal with the submarine overrun with the replicators. Sam is taken to the Asgard homeworld. And we have some dialogue between Carter and Thor. It's mostly Thor.
You got Thor, Christina?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow. That's an impressive looking ship.
The O'Neill was supposed to be our last great hope. It is the most advanced technological Asgard creation yet. It is the first Asgard vessel designed solely to fight in a war against the replicators, but it is not ready. 5 Asgard ships are currently engaging 3 ships controlled by the replicators, which are on their way here. We are going to join the battle and with your help stop them. For the sake of the Asgard, we must not fail.
No pressure.
Yeah, he really laid it on thick, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, we are depending on you because we are too smart for our own good and mm-hmm. we need someone stupid. So Jack and Teal'c board the sub. They hunt down the replicators. Jack notices that they are a different color. And Major Davis is like, I wonder if it's some kind of camouflage. Mm-hmm. They open a hatch. They discover what appears to be the queen or mother bug. The original replicator that survived Thor's ship. So far, the replicator, like, they don't really pay them any attention until, like, the humans are threatening them in some way, shape, or form. And what happens is, it happens really quick, but it's Jack, Teal'c, and 2 other red shirts that they just sent down with them.
We all know what happens to the red shirts.
Yeah, I think it's Stevens and Baker are their names. But yeah. One of the replicators, like, rears back at Stevens, and he opens fire. So then the replicators start to attack. Teal'c and Stevens are in trouble. Shots are fired, and it's kind of hard to tell what's happening. But Stevens is killed, and Jack and Teal'c are okay. The bugs are in full attack mode, and they hold up a section of the sub to regroup. So they're like, let me close one of these hatches, and let's figure out what to do.
Yep.
Cut to Thor's homeworld. We have, this is, again, like, so much really good dialogue, lots of plot. So do you guys want to read that?
Yeah, let's go. All right, so Thor says, each individual building block is capable of exerting a reactive modulating monopolar energy field on other blocks, allowing the replicators to assemble themselves into many forms. To our knowledge, the interior of each block contains the following: 2 million isolated Charon pathways.
What's a Charon?
In simplest terms, it is an energy particle.
I've never heard of it.
Yes, I'm aware.
Well, how am I supposed to help figure out how to defeat a Charon-based technology if I don't even know what a Charon is?
The Asgard would never invent a weapon that propels small weights of iron and carbon alloys by igniting a powder of potassium nitrate, charcoal, and sulfur.
Okay, I get your point.
We cannot think like you.
Okay, let's forget about the Charons and try to put this in terms that I can understand. Each block is like its own individual computer, capable of communicating with the other blocks. Now, multiple blocks come together to form bugs and other things in order to perform various tasks, ultimately for the purpose of replicating.
So we get some really good information about the replicators and, like, how they function. And also, Thor really reinforces the fact of, like, we cannot think the way you think. Like, nope. We just don't get it. Like, they're too smart for their own good. And while their technology is super advanced strategically, they're dead in the water. They cannot think strategically like humans can. And even, like, with the human weapons that are to the Asgard very rudimentary, very caveman like. It's like, well, shit, this works. Like, but we never thought of that. So they're truly like at a disadvantage, even though you wouldn't think they would be. So Sam is worried for a moment and asks Thor, like, really kind of guiltily of like, well, what if there were like two blocks like I have in my lab? Could they replicate? But Thor does assure her that it would take more than two. So
asking for a friend.
Yeah.
Just, you know, just friendly, like, what if scenarios.
Yeah. Hypothetically speaking here. She does kind of mention, like, I guess you guys don't have any that I could, like, study, I guess. But it is too dangerous for the Asgard to keep any replicators to be studied, to produce. So he produces this AI holographic image that mimics any behavior that they've observed. So it's very realistic. It reacts to Sam, like, getting closer. It looks very realistic. So we kind of leave them with that. She's like, okay, I gotta think. Let me, like, study this thing. Back on the surface of Earth, Jack tells Davis it's too dangerous and they just have to blow the ship. And Frasier is there just digging in this wound on Teal'c's back. She's
that
just
looks
like,
so painful.
It looks.
I also ooh, like, it takes me a minute to recognize her anytime she's not in the infirmary.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just so like, what? She's where? What? she's always in the infirmary.
Yeah,
good old Doc Frasier.
And her little white coat and everything. But I think she was, I can't remember what she was wearing, but it was, yeah, it's weird. But she digs out a replicator block from Teal'c's wound, and we see Daniel look at it, and we kind of get a close-up shot of it too, and we see, like, it kind of looks rusty, which is new and interesting. So back on Thor's ship, Sam is stumped. She is obviously worried about Earth and how things are going down there. And Thor tells her if they can clean shit up here, they will go back and help Earth. But it's like, we have to, like, put out this fire first before we can go back.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, no pressure.
Yeah. And then Thor offers Sam some sustenance.
Here you go, everybody.
Food.
Yep.
The best. The absolute best. So you want us to read it?
Yeah, it starts off, we see the selection of different shaped colored pellets appear on the table.
Yeah, Sarah, read the stage directions while we're reading this.
All right, Thor?
I like the yellow ones.
So Carter picks up a yellow one, takes a bite. She pulls a funny face and spits the food out in her hand, looking at Thor.
Oh my god, sorry.
It looks like pellet foods that you would feed, like, an animal of some kind, like a fish. Also, like, bright colors, kind of like Starburst, but, like, powdery looking, too.
It's got to be horrible, though, if, like, Sam in the military can't eat it.
Yeah.
It's got to be
It's
horrible.
Bad.
It's purely bad, to, like, keep them alive. It's they do not eat. There's no foodies in the Asgard world, apparently.
Sustenance only.
Yeah. So the computer screen comes on and an image of another Asgard comes on the screen talking in an alien language. Another screen shows a view of space.
What is it?
We have lost contact with the rest of the Asgard ships engaging the replicators.
Well, could it be a communication problem?
No, the Asgard ships are not being detected.
So what are those?
The replicators.
We're too late.
Yeah.
Dun, dun.
So the Asgard ships were fighting the replicators were taken over by them. So, well, shit. They're screwed.
Soylent yellow.
I was also thinking of Soylent green.
Nice.
Oh, no. But then what is it made of? Oh, gross. God.
Starburst. It's just Starburst.
The shells of their bodies that they dispose of.
Stop.
When they transplant their consciousness into a new body.
That's disgusting.
I mean, they probably would recycle. I mean.
Oh, hey. That's nasty. No, it's nasty.
They're eco-friendly.
Stop
it. You heard it here first, everybody.
They do not eat their own.
I mean, not technically. But okay, anyway, back on Earth, Daniel tells Davis to hold off on blowing the ship up. this new block that they dug out of poor Teal's shoulder, it's corroded, it's rusty, it looks like shit. Because the bugs are eating the Russian sub, they're made of steel. Mm-hmm. And this is why they're a different color and susceptible to corrosion. They haven't tried to get off the sub yet because they're only as resilient as the raw material that they're made of. They're not like the ones that are on Thor's ship, which are made with like fancy Asgard technology. They're just made of shitty earth technology and they will rust and they will short circuit in the water. This is not like the iPhone that's water safe up to 50 feet or whatever. Like, thank God Steve Jobs wasn't busting out some iPhones.
No.
So blowing up the ship could easily destroy the bugs, except for the original queen that survived Thor's ship. So Teal'c proposes they create a diversion. The bugs are attracted to energy, so they set off a small charge, draw the bugs away from the queen. They have a plan. But just as they figure this out, the engines of the sub fire up and the bugs are on the move. They're ready to land, dock in the harbor, whatever.
How do they know land? How do they know to go there?
Questions. They have access to all the sub information. So maps and whatnot.
I guess.
Radar, sonar, I don't know.
Anyway.
I don't know if we passed this part already, but there is a point where Thor said something along the lines of they can enhance the Asgard technology beyond their understanding. They can modify the Asgard's technology so that they don't know how. It's beyond what anything the Asgard know. So it kind of alludes to the fact of they're smarter, they know things beyond what the Asgard know. So where did they come from? And what do they know? So it kind of alludes to that mystery of their origin, because they weren't created by the Asgard. The Asgard just found them one day.
Mm-hmm.
So back on Thor's ship, Thor estimates it's going to take 2 hours for the bugs to get to his world. And we have some more dialogue between Carter and Thor. This is so good. That's why I put, I couldn't cut any of this out.
No, it's too so good.
Your ships can go much faster than light speed. I've seen you fly clear across the galaxy in no time.
Yes.
So why are the bug ships traveling so slow?
In order to generate the subspace field required to travel at hyperspeed, full power of the generators is required. Presently, they're using that power to replicate.
So if they did decide to go to hyperspeed, it would also mean no shields or weapons.
Yes. But remember, the replicators do not care about time as we do.
Right. They're not in a hurry. How did they get control of your ships in the first place?
The replicators are capable of modifying our own weapon technology beyond our understanding.
But I thought they learned everything they know from you.
It is possible. They have gathered knowledge from sources other than the Asgard.
The bottom line is, we can't touch them, but they could easily take over the ship or blow it to smithereens if they wanted.
Yes.
So why don't they?
We have shown no signs of aggression, and the ship's technology is less advanced than the ships they currently occupy.
All right. So why are my notes anyway, there's a gap. So there's a break. I just want to talk about this real quick. Mm-hmm. So there's a couple key things that Sam learns. One, while the replicators are on the ship, they don't go into hyperspeed. Hyperspace light speed, I don't know. They don't go super fast. They're just chilling. They're cruising along. Cruise control is on 60 miles an hour, whatever. They have all the time in the world.
Yeah.
They just want to eat some snacks, get as many friends as they can make, and then they'll get there when they get there. And if they go into hyperspeed, they are vulnerable because the shields don't work. And what else? The whole part about they modify the Asgard's technology beyond the Asgard's understanding. So again, they're also not showing any aggression. So they're not being bothered. So they're not bothering. It's leave it alone and they'll leave you alone type of thing.
Well, I take it as they have this meter of it's kind of is it worth is the juice worth the squeeze? Like, is it worth all that effort to go to this lower technology, or do we mm-hmm. press on for higher things? I do like that they open up a potential space for a different villain backstory, which obviously doesn't really super come with the replicators, but the mention of, oh, they could have picked it up from someone other than the Asgard mm-hmm. to kind of like, that's a nice little subtle, like, I like, there's a lot of like subtle footholds that kind mm-hmm. of come through this episode. But yeah, I don't know. I never yeah. thought of it that way.
So there's some more dialogue between Thor and Carter.
You are tired.
Yeah.
It is another advantage the replicators have over us. They do not require rest.
But they do have to eat.
Yes, in order to replicate.
And they are what they eat, right? What's the strongest material you know of?
We have just developed a new alloy of naquadah, trinium, and carbon. It was used to create the hull of the O'Neill.
Can that ship reach hyperspeed yet?
Yes.
Can it be flown using autopilot or some sort of remote control?
Why?
So we can get the replicators to chase after it.
It is possible. However,
that ship is everything they are looking for. It'll look like an all-you-can-eat buffet.
But it is not complete. They will capture it and consume its technology.
Not if you rig it to self-destruct.
I do not understand.
You said that the bugs can't use shields or weapons in hyperspeed. If the O'Neill enters hyperspeed, the bugs will have to in order to follow. When they do blow the O'Neill and take... When they do, you blow the O'Neill and take the bugs with it.
Major Carter, you are suggesting that we destroy the most advanced Asgard attack vessel ever created before it is even finished?
I know.
The O'Neill is our last hope of successfully attacking replicator-infested ships.
It won't attack anything if the bugs get to your planet before it's finished. You said yourself you didn't think the answer had to do with your own technology anymore.
If the replicators do not follow the O'Neill...
We have to believe they will.
If the replicators are able to infest the O'Neill and disable the self-destruct...
Then they will consume the ship and its technology, and we will have created the most advanced version of the bugs yet. I know. It's a risk.
A risk we cannot take.
So this is so good.
Like, she's like, hear me out. Just...
Yeah.
Like, you hired me to be dumb and give you a smart solution here, and you don't want to fucking take it. I would have been pissed.
I have a theory about this. Okay. This is why... They never named a ship after Sam.
They're holding a grudge.
Yep.
Yeah. They're we are also part of the Earth Fangirl Club with Major Davis, and we are trying to like honor you and name ships and shit after you, and mm-hmm. now you just want to blow it up.
Yep. That's why. Yep.
Don't mm-hmm. they name one the Hammond?
Mm-hmm. No, Earth named one the Hammond.
Oh, wasn't. Who did they name one like the
Daniel Jackson,
the mm-hmm. Jacks, the Dr. Jackson or some shit? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is purely strategy based, though. It has nothing to mm-hmm. do with technology. It is about diversion and trying to get them to do what they want them to do. That's mm-hmm. that's purely what it's about. And this is what it's going to take to get them. So we cut back to Earth. Jack and Teal'c. They set off the explosives and the replicators are drawn away. So it was a very short scene. Back on Thor's ship, Sam is having like a come to Jesus moment with Thor. She is like, listen, the reason I am here is because you needed someone stupider than you. And I am suggesting something you think is stupid and you're not going to do it. Like, this is why I'm here. This isn't about who has more advanced technology. It's about strategy. It's mm-hmm. something that Asgard would never think to do. Use the technology as bait to lure them into a trap. She's like, just fucking listen to me, please. Like, you wanted this. This is what you wanted. Mm-hmm. So Thor agrees to try it. He's like, yeah, you're totally right. Like, we would never think of someone this fucking stupid. So he goes back to his little council of Asgard people. Back on Earth, Jack and Teal'c are on the move. They got to kill the mother bug now. Because at least if they can kill that one, when they blow the ship, all the other ones will die. And this is not like... in other movies and shit where like you kill the main baddie and like all of the minions die as well. Like you kill the mother bug, all the other bugs are still alive. Like mm-hmm. It's not as convenient. So back on Earth, Jack blasts away the other bugs. Hold on. Okay, so they set the charge off. The other bugs are drawn away, right? Their plan worked. Their diversion tactic, which again, the Asgard probably would have never thought of. They're like, okay, we'll just create a diversion over here, blow up some shit, draw the bugs away. Jack kills the mother bug, but the other bugs have trapped them. It's really cool, actually, like at the top of a hatch, like they create like a wall or like a lid, and Jack shoots through it, and then it just like it's like Terminator, like the T2, where he like morphs into like whatever it.
Yeah.
So they're trapped on that level. And Jack is like, just blow the sub while we're on board. And it's kind of funny because like he takes his body cam off so we can look at Daniel and be like, fucking Daniel. Do it. Like, I am not let me get eaten alive by these bugs. Like, just let me go quick and painlessly. But Daniel is very hesitant. And Jack is like shouting in the background to Davis to give the order. So back on Thor's ship, he comes back really quick. They execute the plan. The replicators take the bait. The ship enters hyperspeed. The computer shows that the replicator ship's closing in on the O'Neill. The O'Neill blows, and it takes the replicator-controlled ships out with it. It worked. They did it. Sam hugs Thor, and she's like, oh, crap. Like, sorry, I didn't mean to hurt your little, like, Asgard bod.
Did I break you?
So sorry.
Yeah. And Thor was like, it was your stupid idea. Like,
I love that.
It's like kind of a mean, but also like, I guess it worked.
It's exactly what he needed. So
He should be grateful.
Yeah. So back on Earth, Jack and Teal'c are fighting for their lives, man. They're just surrounded. They're being swarmed. Daniel is just like stalling as much as he can. And just as, you know, they give the order, Davis gives the order. They send the torpedoes to blow the submarine, and they make a direct hit. And just as like Jack is about to be bug food and the whole ship is breaking apart, they're beamed away with the Asgard technology. Perfect timing.
Yep.
I wonder what it was like on the ship though. Like, they get into orbit and Sam's like, what are they doing down there? What do you
see? Get them out.
Like, they had to have like use their fancy like fucking scanner shit to be like, okay, what's going on the ship? Oh, look, there's things in the water coming toward it. So I don't know, but we have some dialogue. It's so they beam Jack and Teal'c up. They're like still like on their stomachs and shit, like on the ground in fetal positions, and we get this dialogue. It's O'Neill, Carter, Teal'c.
I got Teal'c.
Yeah,
cool. That's fine.
Now that's timing.
We came as soon as we could, sir.
Teal'c, are you all right?
I am, O'Neill.
I take it things weren't going too well?
Nah, we had it handled.
So the bugs are all taken care of down there?
Pretty much, you.
We kicked their asses.
They had asses?
The Asgard had this big new ship, the O'Neill.
Oh, yeah?
But we had to blow it up.
Oh.
And Thor says, the Asgard are most grateful. One day we shall repay you by helping to fight the Gould. Oh, is it cute? Okay. Saving one Asgard planet was a small victory, O'Neill. The conflict with the replicators stretches across my galaxy. Major Carter's strategy worked this time, but the replicators are very intelligent. It may not work again. However, now there is hope where once there was none.
So Jack tells Thor to drop in anytime and rambles on about fishing in Minnesota. Thor beams them back to Earth while O'Neill is still mid-sentence. And then he's like, Thor's wagon out, bitch. Like, turns around.
Like, sorry, the static. What were you saying?
He's still salty over blowing up that ship.
Yeah. They're mad.
I mean, yeah.
So that was it. It was a really fun episode. Again, like, I think the most interesting parts were Sam strategizing with Thor, and you kind of get to see, and you get to like build more of a relationship with the Asgard of like, they really do, like, they're huge fans of us. They're naming ships and shit after us. They need our help because we're kind of dumb. Like, they're pretty cool dudes. So for themes and discussion, I have some fun facts. The first Stargate is still at the bottom of the ocean. So the Giza Stargate was, it's one at the ocean. They presume it's destroyed in the crash, but it is recovered by the Russians from the bottom of the ocean. The mm-hmm. Antarctica Gate becomes the main gate in Cheyenne Mountain until it is destroyed in season 6. So they continue to use the Antarctic Gate, and for plot hole continuity errors, it should be the different point of origin, but it's not. Like, we always see the standard, like, pyramid with the sun. It should be the weird Antarctica point of origin.
But it's not.
Yeah, well, continuity wasn't as big of a deal back then. They're like, we'll just distract you with 20 episodes. You'll forget. Don't worry.
But it's fine. But I didn't think it had the same. It had a different one, because you even can dial a gate when it's like in orbit of a planet.
Mm-hmm.
So the point of origin would be the same.
But like, remember when Sam was digging it out in solitude? She's like, the point of origin, I don't recognize it. This is what it is. Like, I specifically remember her like pointing out the point of origin. I think it's
because she's seeing the Earth point of origin. She's seeing that symbol and she's like, I can't find a unique point of... She didn't know she was on Earth. So she True. Didn't know, you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I took it that, like, this is the symbol for Earth, so whatever was Earth was the same thing.
Okay, let me... Because this was on IMDb, so, like, I think maybe whoever submitted it didn't realize the difference.
Yeah, because to your point, that's a good point, Rebecca, that she thought, like, she was somewhere different. So she's like, I don't see anything different because it literally looks exactly the same mm-hmm. as ours.
And they also had that whole conversation about, you know, what happens when you dial your own phone number. You get a busy signal.
Yeah.
Which so it that says, doesn't happen anymore because we have cell phones. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like.
Okay, I can't find. Oh, wait, it's under goofs.
Goofs. Okay, so I forget. I'm having a complete moment and I'm just going to get over it and not be embarrassed by it. But who put the second gate there? The ancients put it there, right? They put the Antarctic? Why am I having a moment about this?
The Antarctic Gate was the ancients originally, and then when the Gould came to Earth, they brought a second Stargate.
Right.
And that's what was the one in Egypt.
Right.
Right?
Why am I having a moment? My brain is so dead. I'm so embarrassed by that, but I don't care. Someone will tell us.
That's what it is, though, isn't it? Like, the Antarctic Gate was the one that was originally on Earth that the ancients built, and then it was buried, or like the Ghoul didn't know it was there. So when they came to Earth in ships, they brought the Stargate that was in Egypt.
Yeah, because the outpost, the like ancient outpost, is in Antarctica too. It makes sense that that's all together.
Yeah. Another thing. This is kind of like nitpicky stuff, but it lends to realism. None of the team members appear even slightly fazed by firing a 12-gauge shotgun in a submarine corridor. They have the eye protection, but where's the ear protection, guys? A 12-gauge has an extremely loud report. If a person were to even fire a single shot in a tight, confined space such as that without hearing protection, it would cause disorientation, painful ringing in the ears, and likely permanent damage to the eardrums after firing multiple rounds. The SG team members should therefore have been wearing hearing protection.
Yeah, for sure.
But they were not.
Yeah. And then, of course, like, the main theme of this is it's strategy. It's like, how do we strategize? How do we... It's like a puzzle. It's solving a puzzle. It's not necessarily like what tools you have at your disposal, but how you use those tools to beat your opponent, so to speak.
Yeah.
Mm. You know what I like about this episode, and I was thinking about this, is that everyone played their best versions of their skill set in this episode to the fullest extent. Like, I was going through and thinking of, like, truly, like, a puzzle getting solved and how, like, everyone's the right piece because together they can get it all fucking figured out if they just do their strength. So, like, Sam going with Thor to do that and kind of work in her element there. Teal'c and like O'Neill being like, you know, going in there and busting shit up, but strategically getting it done. But Daniel, like, holding a more ethical kind of pace of like slowing it back and being cautious to like make the call, but Davis being ready to make a call. And then I don't know, the whole thing I just enjoyed because everyone did their thing and everyone did it. Like, because some episodes we see people cross over into other skill sets that they're maybe not best suited for. But this one was really good about showing if everybody does their strongest thing, they can figure this shit out.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked how Daniel was that kind of like support role for Teal mm-hmm. and Jack, kind of being mm-hmm. in their ears, watching them. And then also, like, they were seeing them just get wrecked on those body cams. And like, he was like wincing and shit. He was like, oh my God, this is bad. But like, I don't want to blow them up. And this is the situation where like, if I was in that situation, I'd probably be like, yeah, I'm not trying to get like torn apart by these bugs. If you can't save mm-hmm. me, if you can't fucking save my ass, then I guess blow me up and don't let me get eaten by bugs.
Yeah.
Spray me with WD-40 or whatever they got cooking in there. I don't know.
The bug juice.
Yeah.
Bug metal juice.
Acid. People on Reddit are talking about the point of origin symbol. I found a conversation back and forth of the first one speaking to the point of it being the same point of origin symbol was that this person says the point of origin is the same anywhere near or on Earth. That's why like if you dial that address, even if the gate's in orbit, it's still gonna connect to that gate. Mm-hmm. This was demonstrated when Anubis, and this person says, I believe it was he, dialed into a Stargate on a ship in orbit around Earth, preventing SGC from dialing out. The other thing, Daniel, there was a Stargate aboard the ship. So once I realized we were close enough to use Earth as a point of origin, I dialed P3X984. So it's the distance to the planet that dictates the address and the point of origin.
Okay. So in Solitudes, when Sam found like the one symbol that like didn't match or like she wasn't familiar with, she assumed that was the point of origin or something. Yep.
I thought she said she couldn't find what looked like a point of origin on the DHD because she was looking for something other than the Earth point of origin.
Okay. I don't know exactly how it works, but okay.
Yeah.
Like I got nothing. It makes sense.
I mean, it's ultimately probably a lot of retcon so that they don't have to like change the prop anyway.
True.
Mm-hmm. But they can't,
it's pretty iconic. They're not mm-hmm. gonna like change it.
It's in all the text.
It's in the everything. Logo. Yeah.
So either way, you know, whether it makes sense or not, they retconned it to make it make sense, basically.
That's just how it was back in the Wild West.
Yeah.
The 2000s. Make up
shit.
Flying by the seat of their pants.
Yep.
We have more comments.
Oh, there's tons of comments. There you go. But there's it. That's how it works.
You
right
push
there.
The button, the thing rotates, Walter crawls out chevrons, and a puddle appears. That's how it works, pretty much. Right,
exactly.
That's it. Perfect.
Correct.
So, like, I think the one thing, though, in making sure I'm correct in this, because, when we talk about point of origin, when you're
what
dialing...
What is correct?
Like, listen, when you are dialing out, like, you have to say, I'm calling from here to go there.
Yes.
And so that's where...
You have your 6 points that make the cube thing.
Yep.
Right?
And then you have to say
the one that's the point of origin.
Right. So I'm going from here to that space over there dialing out.
Mm-hmm.
And so the DHD would.
It's also impossible to have enough unique symbols. So there's there's a lot of holes in it anyway.
So many. So many.
Listen, I can barely understand going vertically in space, so I'm gonna tap out on the
that's two episodes in a row where we're like, okay, physics, like what are we doing here?
I'm an idiot.
So you go into the fourth dimension, you flip time and then come back.
No, but it's true though, because if you do assume that that's like, even whether you assume it or not, that's the point of origin for Earth, like there are not a billion symbols on the DHD. Mm-mm. So that's a problem.
Just a little bit.
Also, why don't they just use the DHD in Antarctica? instead of like the bajillion computers programs and shit they have to use to dial out. There's a whole ass DHD. And they're just like, I guess we're just not going to use that. Oh, well.
Nicholas, that's what I was saying. They say that the seventh symbol is unique to each planet or gate. But like, how many planets and how many gates are out there and how many symbols are on a DHD? Mm-hmm.
It's... That's true. Mm-hmm. There's only 36 planets out there. That's not enough to have 10 seasons.
Well, no, but then there's different combinations of it. So you take each
there
thing.
There are different. It still just doesn't feel it. Like there are enough. To make it make sense.
No, I think so.
If one of them always has to be the point of origin.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's 39 unique symbols, according to Sandra in the comments.
But you can put them in a million different sequences.
Yeah.
But if the last one is always the point of origin and there's 39, then you would
and they
think...
all are the same 39 symbols on all the DHDs. And they seem to be because they know how to dial really quickly by the end of it. Like,
yeah.
Oh, I know where the 9 button is. I know where the 4 button is, you know?
Oh, yeah. I see what you're saying.
They probably use the DHD for practice drills where it's like all the fucking fireworks are going off in the background and they test, okay, how fast can you dial? Go, go, go. Like, that's what they use the DHD for. They're just testing people.
Like the point of origin needed to be more than one thing. I could go on this forever. Okay, let me not.
My eyes
are
glazed over at this point.
You're like
you press the buttons. You press the buttons. You go through. It's another world. That's what I'm
yeah. Back to Scott's comment. This is it.
You push the buttons.
You push the buttons. The thing rotates. Unless you're on a planet and it doesn't rotate because they didn't have the money to do that.
But I think you also have to flip the toast, right? I think that's also
you have to flip the toast.
Flip the toast and then you're good. That's you know what? That is the missing thing is the toast flipper. That is how you really get the right coordinates. Secret weapon. All right. That was
an easy breezy one.
Yeah.
Don't worry, what? Next week we'll make up for it because the other side, I can fucking talk about that shit for hours, man. That's going to be
you
a
ready?
Beefy one. Oh my God, yeah.
Big beefy.
I'm going to just answer one more comment here. I know that it's supposed to be different on each, like a different symbol on each DHD for this.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't buy that there are that many unique symbols like involved in the whole thing. That's my problem with it. Let me clarify that. Because they're based on star charts and stuff. And it's just, I just don't buy that there are that many unique symbols.
Listen, they didn't think it through that much. I don't know.
I have questions and I need answers.
I have questions. I'm not sure if I need the answers. I think sometimes I'm
better off not knowing. I just want to go explore other planets.
This is true.
Anyway. Right.
Yeah, the other side is next. Oh, yeah. Exciting. That's exciting.
Get ready. All right. I'm going to write a whole ass dissertation on that
one.
Oh, God. Okay.
It's going to be a beefy one next time, guys.
Get ready.
All right. I'll be
it's my turn
for
to
that.
Close the iris on these unique 39 symbol stargates. Get ready. I got something ready. So you want to cue it up, Rebecca?
I got it ready. We're ready to go.
All right, guys. I got to get some sustenance. I'm going to get a nice helping of Soylent Yellow. Close the iris.